is on the air, broadcasting 24/7 from the top of the Niagara Escarpment.
The Hawk is on the air, broadcasting 24/7 from the top of the Niagara Escarpment.
Thank you. This is CIOI 101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
Sisters too, that the reason why my heart is broke is on account of you. It's on account of you. I'll give you back your letter. Give you back your ring, but I'll never forget my one true love as long as songbirds sing, as long. Go away from my window, go away from my door, go away, away, away from my bedside and bother me no more. And
is Hamilton's alternative. 101.5, The Hawk FM.
This is CIOI 101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
Thank you. 101.5 The Hawk is looking for new programming in any and all languages. Connect with your community through music and storytelling. 101.5 The Hawk welcomes voices that are currently underrepresented in local media. We're here to help you get started producing your own radio show from home. No experience required. Reach out to us at 1015thehawk.ca to learn more.
At Mohawk College, we believe that consent is everything.
If my friend tells me they've been sexually assaulted, the first thing I need to do is listen to them, understand the situation, let them know that I am trying to understand how they feel.
I think the most important thing is to not push them by any means, not make them say anything they don't want to, make sure they're as comfortable as possible.
What does consent mean to you? For support or more information, students and staff can contact the Student Rights and Responsibilities Office, Security Services, Employee and Family Assistance Program, or Counseling Services at Mohawk College. Or in the community, contact Sasha, the Sexual Assault Center in Hamilton, at sasha.ca.
This is CIOI 101.5 FM.
The Hawk is on the air.
Not long ago, I whispered in the night. You whispered back and cold. Started racing out of touch. Not long ago, last night, sitting in the dark, I was being difficult. There's a weight in my heart that was atypical. Tonight we're racing out of touch. Are we getting wise? Headlong into the night. And I was all alone, I was contemplating letting you know. But tonight we're speaking code. Head high into the wild. Contemplating loss and the consequence of getting old. But for now we're speaking code. When the ring comes, shot hurt deadly in the night. We were being civilized. I'm losing my touch and nothing being rectified. So we're wasting our life while we're getting wise. Headlong into the night. I was all alone and I was contemplating letting you know. But tonight we're speaking code. Head high into the wild. Contemplating life. Once again, no. But for now, we're speaking code. When the rain comes down on us, I know it's gonna be alright. All the late night thoughts in us, I hope we're gonna be alright. There's a shaky thought in us, I say it for another night. And the rain comes.
Broadcasting across the Steel City, this is 101.5 The Hawk.
You are listening to Bridging the Social Distance. My name is Jenny Mitchell, and I recorded this show here at CFRU, Guam Bison Community Radio Station, as a means of creating a platform for us to share ideas and feelings and perspectives in the wake of this global pandemic that is COVID-19. I was afraid that people would get isolated or I would lose the opportunity to chat with my community and find out how everyone's doing, so I made this show. If you're listening, You are listening to Bridging the Social Distance. My name is Jenny Mitchell, and I recorded this show here at CFRU, Guelph's campus and community radio station, as a means of creating a platform for us to share ideas and feelings and perspectives in the wake of this global pandemic that is COVID-19. I was afraid that people would get isolated or I would lose the opportunity to chat with my community and find out how everyone is doing, so I made this show. If you're listening and you would like to get involved or be interviewed, you can contact me at mobile@cfru.ca. I'd like to provide the disclaimer that these interviews were recorded at different points in time, so situations in some of these locations may have changed. This show is also being syndicated for CIOI in Hamilton, Ontario. Today I'm speaking with Heather Culford. Heather lives here in Guelph, and her mother resides at the Village Riverside Glen up in the Dementia Care neighborhood. This interview was originally recorded on June 23rd, 2020. So to start with, can you introduce yourself for listeners?
Yeah, my name is Heather Culford. I live in Guelph so that I could be close to my mother. She's in retirement, technically, but she gets long-term care level of care. She's not independent at the retirement home. So, yeah, I see her. Well, before COVID, I was seeing her every day for a few hours, and then in the afternoon, I would sometimes go to work for a few hours, and so.
That looks very different now, I imagine.
Yes, it's very different, very different, yeah.
What is the current version of visiting that is enabled at Riverside Glen?
Okay, so you're allowed to have a window visit where they'll bring them to the window and sort of have a phone on each side and you can see them through the window is one option they offer. They offer video calls with Zoom or with Apple phones, that type of thing. And that was sort of during the duration of the first part of the shutdown. And now when the last phase came out, you're allowed to have a visit outside with them. So in order to do that, you have to have tested negative for COVID within the past 2 weeks. You go through screening. They ask you all the questions. If you had this or that symptom, they take your temperature and then they take you outside. And there's a long table that's, I guess, 6 or 7 feet long. And you sit at one end of the table and your mom, well, in my case, my mom sits at the other end of the table. And they bring her down. So I'm wearing a mask and she's wearing a mask. So it's a lot different than when you were able to visit in person. So, and it's a little tricky because my mother has very poor hearing. She only has hearing in one ear and it's only 25% with the hearing aid. So when people are wearing masks, she's used to sort of reading lips. Or reading facial expressions. So it's extremely difficult for her to make out what someone's saying because she just gets a tiny bit from the hearing aid. Then she also reads the lips and the facial expressions, and then she can usually put it together.
That sounds extremely challenging.
Yeah. So for her in the beginning, I tried telephone calls with her a few times. She just couldn't hear on the phone. Or wouldn't even know who it was. So that was difficult. So a window visit would be the same thing that she can't hear on the phone. So, yeah, it's been quite tricky.
Do you know if it's any different for her inside? Like, have you heard anything from any of the staff if they have any kind of circumstances where folks are able to talk without masks, or is it all still masks inside as well?
Well, I saw her yesterday when they brought her out, they had a mask on her. She has quite advanced dementia, so she wasn't really good at keeping it on all the time. And it was, I was kind of told, just do the best you can. You know, you are 6 feet away, you did test negative and you are wearing a mask. So, inside, I'm not 100% sure. I'm 100% sure that the staff are wearing masks inside. I'm not 100% sure that all the residents are. I think if the residents are able to and will keep it on and understand, that they probably are. But I would imagine that people like my mother are probably not wearing masks. Yeah.
Yeah. It strikes me as a really difficult situation for there to be a solution for. I don't really know, what they could do differently while still keeping people safe, but it seems important that there's some amount of communication possible.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. Because, like I said, I was seeing my mother every day, and, you know, she would count on me being there every day. And then one day I just wasn't allowed to come. So I'd been there every day, and then all of a sudden I stopped coming. And I'm sure she has no idea why that happened, or, you know, if she'd been abandoned, or I just don't know. So, yeah, that part was hard. And, yeah, with her not being able to hear on the phone, it's hard. And, you know, yeah, it's definitely depends on the deficits that any of the residents may have that interfere with that way of visiting. And I'm sure there are some residents that works out really well for them, but yeah, definitely not all of them. So my first concern was, you know, is she panicking? Because there would be the odd day that I would come a little later than I normally would, and she'd say, oh, I thought you were dead, or I thought you died, or I thought something happened to you. So as the time goes by, I was thinking, you know, what is she thinking that's happened to me? And, you know, what does she think the reason is that I'm not there? You know, I sort of worried about her emotional well-being and sort of mental health, because, you know, is she panicking because I'm not there, or is she okay? You know, So, yeah, it's a worry. Yeah.
Is she up in the sort of dementia floor of Riverside?
Yeah. So she's in the retirement section of Riverside, which downstairs is the ones that can sort of live independently, except they get their meals. And that, then the people that are upstairs are, it's a closed ward, and it's for people that have dementia or need more help, or it's a worry that they might wander off, or that type of thing. Yeah.
I talked to one of the nurses that works on that floor, and one thing she described that was really beautiful is she said that the residents, because they aren't able to have as many outside visitors, they've been sitting together. And she said they're like communicating in a way, but sometimes not even using words, but she's just seeing like a new, almost like language developing from them coexisting in this space because they have more time together without anyone else coming in.
Yeah.
And that was really like beautiful to hear. It's not like a replacement for family, but it was a nice thought that they're finding some support with each other during this time.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. Like that is wonderful. And, you know, for my mom's sake, maybe she'll get to know like more people or know them better, or, you know, which would be good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know sometimes with my mother, because like I said, her dementia is quite advanced. So sometimes I'll say something to her and she'll answer me back something completely different about what we weren't talking about. And I just go with that and we change it or whatever. But I've noticed that when she says it to the residents and they don't know what she means, they still will smile or touch her arm or say something nice back, even though, so they're still having a conversation, even though neither one is sort of really understanding what the other one is saying. It's like they kind of accept that and, you know, work with that. And yeah.
Yeah.
So they have these nice conversations, even though they're not sort of on the same page. But yeah.
Can you tell me a bit about your mom?
Yeah, so she'll be 86 in on July 25th. And she's her dementia started, I would say, about 3 years ago. And it sort of started out, she went into the hospital for a knee replacement surgery, and everything was fine. There was sort of no signs of anything. And I guess from the anesthetic or whatever, she had a horrible delirium after the surgery and was quite confused, which did sort of recover in time over maybe 3 or 4 months, but she wasn't quite the same as she was before. And then it just seemed to progress from there. So it was maybe something that was starting to happen, but then if there's a catalyst to sort of exacerbate it, it may come out sooner or more severe. So, yeah, so she was living downstairs at Riverside Glen in the independent retirement, and she loved it there, and she had lots of friends, and she loved the staff. She really liked it, and she would come out with me. We would go out and do normal things and everything, but they were cooking her meals and doing her laundry and, you know, just sort of, it was just much easier for her than living at home by herself after my father went into long-term care. So she was quite happy there. And then she had another hospitalization and another delirium. And at that point, we didn't think it was safe enough for her to still be in the independent part of the retirement home. But we liked it. And they had the memory floor where they offer more care. So she transferred upstairs to there. So, yeah. And she was originally from England. She came from England when she was 25. She came with a friend on a ship sort of for a vacation. And then they decided they liked it and they were going to stay. So she stayed, got a job for about a year or so. And then her mother got sick. So she went home and looked after her mother for maybe 5 or 6 months. And then she came back and she's been here ever since.
Did she meet your father here?
Yes, she met him here. Yeah, in Toronto.
In Toronto, neat.
Yeah, so they were married for 52 years. Yeah.
Where did your mother work?
She had several jobs. When she first came to Canada, she was a, I have to try and say it right, comptroller, which was sort of accounting. They had all these keys on the machine and they would enter all the numerical data, sort of like data entry for accounting or whatever that we would do on a computer now. They sort of had this machine that would print out all these numbers. So she did that for quite a while. And then she trained to be a PSW. And she worked in a nursing home for quite a few years. Wow. And she actually worked with dementia patients, which is interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah. So sometimes when she's at her retirement home, she thinks she's working there. So that's okay. I mean, she thinks she's doing a job and, you know, so that works out well. I guess that reminds her of when she was working and, you know, so she likes to help people and whatever. So, yeah, that was sort of an interesting thing that she feels like she's working there.
Yeah, I feel like that maybe would, you know, give a sort of sense of independence and sort of autonomy maybe in what would otherwise be a situation where maybe you wouldn't feel that, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, every little thing like that where she feels a part of something, it all helps, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's been good.
I don't know if you've ever gone up there when they've been having programs, but it struck me it's just a very happy floor at times. Like, I think they were doing some sort of chair dancing or laugh yoga or something one time when I was visiting. And
yeah.
It's like a lot more positive in those moments than I'd seen really in any other part of the building. And I don't know if it's like people are just kind of channeling other parts of their lives and or it's bringing up positive memories or what it is, but it's really nice to see that.
Yeah, it is nice to see that because I was in there every day, so I was seeing things like that, and they've been really good about having lots of programming mm-hmm. for the people upstairs and the people downstairs. And they, you know, sometimes the people upstairs go down to the programming downstairs if there's a concert or whatever, but quite often upstairs they'll tailor it to the needs of those people, because a lot of them, well, it's a memory floor, so a lot of them are at various stages of dementia. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me like the favorite one for everyone is there's a gentleman, and I feel bad, I can't remember his name, but he comes quite often and he plays records for them and dances with them, and they all dance and laugh. And then there's another man, I believe his name is Adrian, I can't remember his last name. He's a wonderful singer, and he'll come up and sing all the old songs for them from their generation, and they sing along and they clap and they dance and they just grin from ear to ear. It's really nice to see. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that in a way, like maybe it's easier for folks with, like, I don't know, like that they're able to channel or escape their reality in a different way than the people downstairs who may be, I guess, more still like high functioning, but more aware of the gravity of what's going on. I don't know.
Yeah. In my mom's case, she has no idea what's going on with COVID or why people aren't coming or anything. And I think because of the advancement of her illness, in our case, it's kind of worked in our favor because she doesn't realize that anything terrible is going on. She doesn't have a really good grasp of time, because in the beginning I thought, oh, she's going to be thinking, oh, Heather hasn't come to see me for 3 months now. But she doesn't seem to think like that in a linear way like that. I don't think time is such a sort of static concept like it is with us. It's sort of more fluid, and she doesn't seem to realize what happened one day or the other day, or, you know, so that's kind of worked to our benefit that she's not so distressed, because she's not worried because she doesn't know what's going on. And she doesn't realize how much time has passed, because I actually got to have a visit with her yesterday, which was the second one since they've been doing the outdoor visits. There was one last week. And the first one, I thought she was going to say, oh, where have you been all this time and everything? But no, she got right into, she said to me, oh, I went out last night and I did this and I did that. I went to London. She quite often goes back to her past and her childhood. And she said to me, oh, I was in Walney, which is the small town that she lived in when she was a child. So I just go with that. And she was telling me all about that. And then she said, oh, I saw my friend Nina yesterday. Well, her friend Nina lives in England, so she didn't see her, but she thinks she did, so it's all good. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there's every chance, I think, that, you know, she saw me yesterday, and then maybe when she saw me yesterday, she thought she just saw me a few days ago. So that's kind of actually helped. I think for the people who are much more cognitively aware, it's probably much more difficult. They realize, you know, 1 week went by, then two, then a month, then 2 months that they haven't seen their people, you know. Mm-hmm. So in this way, I think sort of the dementia is kind of a blessing, because she just doesn't understand, and the time doesn't seem to mean as much. So
that's really fascinating.
Sometimes there's blessings and things that aren't good. I mean, it's not good that she has dementia, but it is good that she's not distressed, because she doesn't have a full grasp of what's happening. So,
yeah. It's a really interesting idea that you might be visiting her in her mind at any number of times.
Because, I mean, before the COVID, when I was there every day, I would go in one day and she said, oh, you know, my friend Phyllis came to see me yesterday and we had the best time and we rode our bikes and everything. So I'd be talking to Phyllis and I'd say, did you see my mom yesterday? She said, no, I wasn't there. So if she thinks her friends are there with her and everything, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, right? So
yeah,
that works out really well.
How have you been doing with the whole COVID global pandemic situation?
Well, as far as sort of in the beginning when it was the lockdown and you were supposed to be in isolation or whatever, I was fine with that. I have a lot of friends that I talk to on the computer and things like that. So I wasn't bored. I wasn't lonely. Like all my friends are saying, I'm so bored and I'm so lonely. And I said, well, I'm just not. So maybe there's something wrong with me that when the whole world goes upside down and I feel comfortable. But so with that part of it, I was doing fine. But with my mom being in a care home, I was just frantically worried about her. You know, mm-hmm. Was she going to get COVID? Was she panicking that I'm not there? Does she think she's being abandoned? Does she have everything she needs? Because I used to go in every day, and if I saw that she needed toothpaste, I'd bring it the next day, or if she needed shampoo, or, you know, mm-hmm. But the staff's very good. They're all phone and say, you know, could you check my mom's room? Is there anything that she needs? And they'll let me know. And I drop it off. So, and then another big worry is with her having dementia. As far as her dementia and my dad's before her, he had Alzheimer's. It seemed like they go along at a certain level for quite a long time, like dementia, but at a certain level. And then all of a sudden, one day, there'll be quite a drop. Like they'll drop quite a few levels, and then that seems to level out, you know, for months or weeks or whatever, and then there'll be another drop and it kind of levels out. So I thought, you know, I haven't seen her for 3 months. When I go back there, I don't know what level she's going to be at. And then I'm thinking, she hasn't seen me for 3 months. Is she going to remember me?
Right.
You know, is she going to know who I am? So, but one of the things I have been doing and I am still doing, I was grasping at any way to keep connection because she really can't hear me on the phone. So sometimes doesn't even know it's me. So every day I pack a little package of goodies for her, some little treats or whatever. And I put a letter in every single day. I put a letter. So she's getting a letter from me every single day. So it's like, okay, at least she knows she's hearing from me every day, so I'm okay. Just trying to keep some sort of connection, you know, that she sees a letter with my name on it every day. So when I see you, I hope you remember my name, you know. And she did. When I saw her, she knew it was me. I was concerned wearing the mask. I said to them, you know, when she's really far away, can I pull the mask down just for a minute so she can see it's me and then put it back up? And they said, no. We don't want you doing that in case there's other residents, which makes complete sense. So I'm like, okay. So it's like, is she going to know with half my face covered that it's me? But she did. She did. And she knew my name. So it all worked out well. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you getting glimpses into parts of her past that you didn't know about? Or like hearing any stories from when she's relaying these sorts of memories she thinks just happened? Or is there stuff that you're learning about her?
Oh, yeah, that all the time. And it's very interesting because she has a brother in England who, I'm trying to think, I think he's maybe 6 or 7 years younger than her. He was the baby. So she'll tell me, she'll mention people's names, or she'll say to me, oh, I was out this morning and all those little boys were rolling down the hill by the school. They were having a great time rolling down the hill. And then at one point she kept saying to me that she'd been to Bigger Bank. So I wrote down what she told me. So I emailed my uncle and I said, this is what she's telling me, you know, that she's gone to Bigger Bank and there's boys rolling down the hill at school. And he said, yeah, Bigger Bank. She lives on a little island that was attached to a bigger city by a bridge. So Bigger Bank was one of the banks out on the ocean where the kids used to all go and play. Mm-hmm. So then he would tell me about how they used to do that. And then he said, yeah, the the one school that was for the young boys, there was a big hill, and they would roll down the hill to school every day. So it's interesting to find out. And she would mention certain people, and I would ask about them, and, you know, it would be a great aunt to me, or, you know, a relative. And
that's so,
so it's interesting because she talks like very frequently about the past. And at some points I think is actually feeling like she's living in the past. So yeah, it is interesting to find out all these things, and even better to have somebody to bounce it off of and say, okay, this is what she's telling me. Do you know what it means? And then I find out. Right. So yeah.
Yeah. That's that's amazing. Having access to that uncle to provide some insight as to what it might mean.
Yeah. Yeah. And she has a cousin. She has a cousin in England that she's very fond of, and she'll tell me things about him and his mother. That his mother was her mother's sister, and she'll tell me these childhood stories and about all the aunts and uncles. And I'll tell him that, and he'll say, "Oh yeah, she's remembering that perfectly." You know,
it's neat because it probably brings it up for them too. You know, there's those memories, they haven't exactly lost them, but until someone brings it up, it hasn't occurred to you?
Yeah, they enjoy it too. And I said, you know, she's talking about this lady and how fond she was of her and everything. And he'll say, oh, yeah, you know, that was our mother's sister or our grandmother or somebody. Yeah.
That's so neat.
And it's nice that she has such fond memories of childhood, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. I guess, like, there's probably an honesty to what she's sharing too, that if it was a bad memory, it may, she may share it that